Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 171, the stanzas 2 and 3. To bless the earth thou sendest, from thy abundant store, the waters of the springtime, enriching it once more, and what follows. Psalter 171, the stanzas 2 and 3. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 65. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 65. To the chief musician, a solemn and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou wast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy pasture of fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. We hope to remember in prayer Jelena de Kock, who needs a treatment for a growth in her arm on Thursday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is pleased thee in thy condescending mercy to grant unto us and our children another Lord's Day, and then by renewal the doors of thy house have been opened. Then thou hast made a difference where there is no difference. Wherefore, a dear husband and father, the last Lord's Day, he was before the Jordan of death, and now it was thy appointed time to go through thy Jordan, his soul ushered into eternity, and his body has been laid in the grave. Wilt thou remember and uphold, strengthen that mourning family for the widow the first Lord's Day as a widow? May it be made a blessing for her soul. And wilt thou grant courage? May our eyes be upon thee. Remember all the mourning families in our midst. And when there are no empty places, may we not all take it for granted, but be given to see thy gracious hand, thy long-suffering therein, and may we be humbled under thy goodness. Then in the past week for us, then thou wast graciously watched over us and our children in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be. And then thou wast granted many a blessing unto us and our children, then it displeased thee to open the heavens and to grant refreshing showers upon the earth. And then we have heard from thy holy word that praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. And then we do well to examine each of our hearts how it has been concerning thy blessings, whether we have become small, whether there was a little bewilderment, a little thought of thee, of thy goodness, so worthy to be served, and that we need thee as our God and our Savior. Then we read in thy holy word of 10 lepers who were healed, and 9 of them have went to the priest in the way of duty, in the way of obedience, to bring their offering. Perhaps many in our midst that have to confess in this morning hour that they have not even come so far with thy special blessings, but may there also be those that cannot come to that place of that one leper. All must come from above by the immediate working of thy Holy Spirit, where he was given to see it in a special way and fell on his face and worshiped thee and glorified God. A privilege when thou granteth it, when it may be with the Peter, where thou hast recorded in thy holy word, and when he saw it, then he has declared, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Ah, Lord, may it then be all thy goodness, thy blessings, yet tokens of thy favor for man and beast, that may bring us on that right and low place, a place of repentance and seeking pardoning in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also concerning thy blessings, then it shall be a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. Then in the past week, then thou wast gladdened the cattle upon 1,000 hills, the birds of the air, and may there have also been among young and old the children of men that were given to see thy special providence and yet a token of thy favor. Lord, we humbly beg of thee, wilt thou do it in the midst of thy church? Wilt thou grant it in this morning hour the showers of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old? Because without those showers, then it shall be so dry, so cold, so dead, no life and no fruit. We are all traveling to eternity, and if we are not converted, then we shall be sent to the place where there shall never be a refreshing shower, but only weeping and gnashing of teeth. But now it may be declared that thou wast sent thy dear Son, that he has bore the agonies of hell for his people, then that only name that precious name of Jesus may be declared unto us and our children with those precious invitations, that whosoever shall come, that they shall never be cast out. Lord, wilt thou send those gentle showers, that the seed of thy holy word, that it may fall on well-prepared hearts, and that it may bear a fruit, first the root downward, and then a blade, and then the ear, and then the full ear. Then thy name shall truly be glorified, when that becomes evident in the life of our boys and girls, in the lives of our youth, the middle-aged, and the elderly ones. And where thou hast begun that good work, thou hast a people that is given to cry, and so desirous for those showers of thy Holy Spirit, where there can be times, oh, it is true, when thou sheddest thy love abroad in the heart, when thou grantest that first love, then they may be so lushy and green, but then they learn without thee they can do nothing, and then they learn what it is to thirst after thee in a dry and thirsty land. For those thirsty souls, thou hast promised that there shall be food in thy house. Wilt thou then refresh? Wilt thou even revive? Wilt thou instruct? Wilt thou encourage? And wilt thou comfort? And no rest till that full ear may come the saving knowledge of thy dear Son for justification and sanctification. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, all thy truly called servants, elders and deacons. Remember the students, and then in a special way, him who is callable, wilt thou teach and instruct him in the way that he must go? Wilt thou remember the many needs amongst us? Remember all of our elderly ones. In the evening of their life, there is that one thing needful. Remember the sick and afflicted, the young mother who was called upon to go to the hospital, concerns and with fears, we humbly beg of thee that thou may go with her, and that it may please thee with all the uncertainties, that the treatment may be blessed in thy hand. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Remember her dear husband, remember the children. And then thou wert speaking in a special way. Oh, we ask thee that this calling be as surely. Then thou was something to say unto her, and in the midst of the family circle, that it may be sanctified where thou wert saying, my daughter, give me thy heart. May it please thee by thy grace, by thy spirit, to take possession of her heart, and then she shall so willingly give it unto thee. Lord, remember all under the doctor's care, the sick relatives, many of them, different circumstances, serious circumstances. We commend them all unto thee, for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember the burdens and all the crosses? Lord, We humbly ask thee in this morning for thy gracious help. Wilt thou open thy precious testimony? Wilt thou open our mouth? Wilt thou open the heavens? Wilt thou open our understanding? And wilt thou open our hearts and our deep fallen Adam? Then we have all closed it, but thy dear Son, as the way, the truth, and the life, he has made an opening. Wilt thou so take away everything that could be a hindrance, also among the hearers, there can be many cares, can be many concerns. May it please thee to grant a little rest in thy house and to bind this Satan, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 286, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. He waters the hills with rain from the skies, and plentiful grass and herbs he supplies, supplying the cattle and blessing man's toil, with bread in abundance, with wine and with oil, and what follows. Psalter 286, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, what you can find in Psalm 65, the verses 9, 10, and 11. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou wast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths a drop fatness. Our text words speak of the watered earth as an emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. With four thoughts, in the first place, the need for this watering. Secondly, the source of this watering. Thirdly, the manner of this watering. And fourthly, the blessing upon this watering. The watered earth as an emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. The need for this watering, because in the margin of our Bible, then concerning waters, then there is written, after thou wast made it to desire rain. The source of this watering, the manner of this watering, and the blessings upon this watering. Thus first, the need for this watering. Beloved congregation, we read over this solemn to the chief musician a solemn and song of David. A very well possible, even likely, that this solemn has been penned with the great day of atonement. Among the Israelites, boys and girls, you have learned it, three great feasts, and all those feasts, they had a connection with the harvest. The feast of Passover, the beginning of barley harvest, and then the first sheaf of that harvest was to be brought to the feast. 50 days later, the day of Pentecost, the wheat harvest, and then the first two loaves, they were for the Lord. The great day of atonement, the seventh month, then the harvest had been completed, the vines harvested, the olive trees, and then it was the time of the early rain. Because in the land of Israel, during the months between May and September, October, it was the dry season, and then it was necessary for the farmers, before they could even plow, that the Lord would send the early rains, and then it would continue to rain during the winter time, and then also the latter rains in the month of March. And now David, when he has come up to the feast, then he had a deep impression of the goodness and of the mercies of the Lord, and also of his sins. And then it was his vehement desire to come up to Jerusalem. And then there is written, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed." What a blessed place to be, to come up to God's house in such a manner. And how is it now with us and our children congregation? On prayer day, then we have meditated upon the prayer of Jeremiah in the time of drought. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for thy name's sake. Our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O, the hope and Savior of Israel, be not as a wayfaring man, or as a stranger that turneth in to turn in for a night, not as a man astonished, as a man that cannot save. Do it for thy name's sake, we are called by thy name. And now it has pleased the Lord, after a time of very little rain, has been a long time since we had a shower, like the Lord has granted in the past week. And how has it now been with us and our children? Then it is written in our text, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God." How has it been with that praise? Have we come into need? Have we begged for the Holy Spirit, for a broken and a humble heart, a true sense of our unworthiness, but also that our thoughts have went further, given to meditate upon spiritual matters? Oh, the need of a refreshing shower of a Spirit upon the church. And now when David has come up to the temple, to the tabernacle in his day, then in the Day of Atonement, then those two goats, the goat that was slain, the scapegoat, and then David has confessed, "Iniquities prevail against me. And as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away." Oh, has that become our need, the burden of our sin? Have we learned to weep for our sins and need the pardoning of the same? And then when the Israelites have come up to the feast, oh, then the tabernacle, the temple service, it all declared the work of Christ, who was to come in the fullness of time. Then in the verses 5-8, David was given to speak of the power of God, the waves, the enemies. And now in the verses 9-13, then the psalmist was given to speak of the harvest, of the crops, of the rain, because after the Day of Atonement, then there was the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was a day of rejoicing. And now we read in our text, "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it." Thus that speaks of the need of the earth. And when we speak of the earth, then we can speak of the dry earth, but also what has been planted in the earth. When we read of the earth, then we think of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, that a sower went forth to sow, and that the seed is fallen on the earth. And now in our text it is clear that there is a great need. There was a great need for the showers from heaven. Oh, in paradise, then everything was so lushy and green. Then we read in Genesis 2 that a mist went up from the face of the earth and that everything was watered. But now in the land of Israel, then there was a rainy season, then there was a dry season, and it seems to be implied in our text that David has penned this solemn after a time of drought. And what a judgment that a drought is. We have heard it on prayer day out of Jeremiah 14, that fathers and mothers, that they have sent their boys and girls with a jug to go to the waters, and then they have returned ashamed, telling father and mother that there was no water. We have heard of the mother deer, that they have left their little ones to their lot because they had no milk. We have heard of the wild asses on the hill sniffing the air with those large eyes, but that there seemed to be no moisture. Oh, what a terrible judgment that famine is. When we think of the need for rain, when there is no rain, then we have a wilderness, and then there are thorns and thistles. When we consider the wilderness, then there shall be no food for man or beast. Then when it continues, when the Lord does not grant those gentle showers, then the people shall starve. And now concerning our solemn, then we may draw many precious instructions concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this earth, then we can speak of a great drought personally in the family circles, in the church, and in our country, where everything is withering away under the judgments of the Lord. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit that learns something of that wilderness. Oh, to be under the burning sun of God's wrath and to wither away traveling to eternity. And no Savior, no God for my heart, no surety for my guilt, and no Savior for my soul. Ah, then that people learn what it is to be a wilderness. And how do they learn that? Ah, when the Lord comes down with those refreshing showers of His Spirit, when they may sit in God's house, and when they may taste of the precious things of the Lord. But then they learn that they are so dependent. Without Him they can do nothing. Ah, then they are given to beg for those refreshing showers. Do we not read in Psalm 63, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee in a dry and thirsty land. Oh, are there souls that understand it, that in this week, when they have seen the refreshing showers fall, that they have begged the Lord, Lord, may those showers fall by renewal on my thirsty soul. When we consider the earth, then it is dry, it has no feeling. But now concerning the church, oh, it can be so dry, and they can even be so satisfied, so prayerless, secretly blaming the Lord. But what a privilege it is when the soul is made thirsty with those vehement desires. Do I not read in Isaiah 26 verse 9, My soul desireth thee in the night. Ah, that is not a strange matter for the true people of God, because on account of that love shed abroad in their heart, then they have received those living,
those desires and longings for the living God, the need for this watering. Our second thought, the source of this watering, because then we read in our text of the river of God, in our text words, then we do not read I or me once. Does not mean we do not have a responsibility. We have to labor diligent wherever we are called to be. Lessons 9, verse 10, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no device, no power, no wisdom, knowledge in the grave, whither thou goest, but so dependent upon the Lord. And therefore, in our three verses, then, boys and girls, if you would look at that text closely, those three verses, then we find the word thou 9 times in those three verses. And we know who thou is. That is the Lord. He is the creator. He is the upholder. He is almighty. He is wise. He is sovereign. And he has everything in his hands. Thus David, in our text words, is given to express in a special way his dependency upon the Lord. What a blessed place. Now we're deep fall. We wanted to be independent. Many times the Lord asks to use hard ways, that we are given to see that we are weak and frail creatures. There's a privilege and a blessing when it may be the goodness of the Lord. Thou 9 times. Verse 1, O God. In verse 5, O God of our salvation. Have you heard it in the Psalm? That is also necessary instruction. The psalmist did not begin with rain, with crops, and with flocks, but he began thanksgiving, and then iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgression, thou shalt purge them away. Matthew 6, verse 26, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses never dying soul? How is the order in our life, congregation? Has that order been changed by the work of the Spirit? Because the natural man, when we are young, hope to prosper, married a family, pay off our debt, and then maybe seek the Lord. But he read in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator, the days of thy youth, before the evil days come. Nevertheless, it is clear in our text words that when the Lord has sent those refreshing showers, that it has touched his heart. In verse 6, we read, being girded with power. Thus, what a difference in our text words. 9 times thou, with that parable of that rich farmer in Luke 12. My goods, my barn, my fruits, all my. God not mentioned. When we have a little self-knowledge, then we have not so many stones to throw. And now David writes it thus, thou visitest the earth and waterest it, Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. What are we now to understand by the river of God? Eliphaz in Job 5, the verses 9 and 10. It is remarkable that in the book of Job, death and suffering, that there's also much spoken of the wonderful things in the realm of nature. Then Eliphaz has said, which doeth great things and unsearchable. What a blessing when we may see it. We may say it so even in the ordinary things, when the Lord sendeth rain, that we may say marvelous things without number. And then concerning those unsearchable things, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the field. When the Lord at the end of the book of Job has instructed Job, then the Lord has also much pointed Job to the wonders in the realm of nature. And then we read in Job 38, verse 37, who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles in heaven? Thus, boys and girls, then the Lord is given to tell Job that the clouds in the air, that they are as bottles in the hand of the Lord, and that he is the God that empties those bottles. How much? Sovereignly. Different places, one place more than another, that everything is in his hands. I read of that wonder in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 7, where Solomon was given to say that all the rivers, they run into the sea, and the sea is not full. Maybe children, you have stood by a big river, and the water's running down that river day and night, and they continue to empty in the sea. And then you know how come that the sea is not full or does not overflow. That is all the wonderful work of the Lord, that by his almighty power, by the sun, then the waters evaporate. And even a greater wonder, we would say, although many times on islands and on the coast, there are also famines. But when we live so far inland, what an almighty power of the Lord to bring all that rain all the way from the ocean and to drop it inland. Our text words speak of the rivers of God. When we compare scripture with scripture, then it is clear that our text words, that they are also a beautiful emblem and type of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because in Psalm 46 verse 4, then we read of the rivers of God that make glad the city of God. And then in many different places than water, then it is an emblem of the precious, the gracious, and almighty work of a triune God. In Jeremiah 2, there the Father is especially referred to with cisterns of water. The Lord Jesus Christ, those everlasting waters, we read thereof in John 4, John 6, John 7, and other places. The work of the Holy Spirit, that is compared in many places to dew, few places to dew, but especially to showers When we think of Isaiah 32 verse 15, there is spoken of a desolate wilderness and a city that is broken down, uninhabited, until the Spirit be poured down upon us and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. And what a precious text. In Isaiah 44, verses 3 and 4, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. You turn fathers and mothers many times that text into prayer, humbly asking the Lord that it may be fulfilled in a special way in the midst of your family circle. Then further, Ezekiel 47, then the prophet was given to see a stream which became a very deep river, come from under the threshold of the temple, from the south side of the altar. And John in Revelation 22 in a vision, then he was given to see that river, pure as crystal, that came forth from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Thus then it is clear, when we speak of rain, of water, that it is an emblem of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And what a beautiful emblem it is of the work of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, the manner of this watering. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Speaks of a dependent life. Much instruction we can glean from these matters. Farmer, how dependent he is upon the Lord. And so it is in the life of grace. Of course, in southern Alberta, there is much irrigation. Not wrong. Also in the Bible, we read of Hezekiah that he has formed a conduit, an aqueduct to bring water into Jerusalem, and a large pool. We read of cisterns. The original word in the Hebrew for river that can also refer to a canal. Nevertheless, also concerning those matters, then we have beautiful examples to explain the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. Then we could say with irrigation, that is much instruction for the Arminian. Because the free willers, they say, they speak. Because of course, when a farmer's irrigation, and we talk about our dependency, then they shall also say, but the Lord has to give the snow in the mountains, and I need to order the water. But also the Arminian, they shall speak. They can speak very beautifully and preciously of the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, how he has merited a perfect salvation. But now concerning the application, then the Arminian, he turns it on himself. At the desired time, the desired quality, and then he shall say, 'tis a merited salvation. We are called to believe, to apply those benefits to ourselves. It says in the Bible we must believe. Does not say any place we can believe. Thus you can draw the line. But now for a dry land farmer, and does not mean that when we are a dry land farmer, that we shall be so dependent. Ah, that is not found in our heart. Nevertheless, still, then we are given to see and given to experience that we are more dependent upon the blessing of the Lord. And now we read in our text, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. The Lord visits the earth in many ways. We read in the Bible that he visited Sodom and Gomorrah with brimstone and fire. Exodus 7, plague of Egypt, visits the earth with hail. The Lord visits his church in many ways with his tender care, also visits the church to inspect, as they read in Luke 13, the verses 6 through 9, that husbandman, where there was that fig tree planted, the Lord visits his church with his word, with the preaching of law and gospel. The Lord visits his church with his goodness and blessings. The Lord visits his church with many callings and even death. And now we read in our text words of ridges and of furrows. Then it is necessary that by the plowshare of God's holy law, together with the softening rain, because they tell us many times in the land of Canaan, after the dry season, then the ground was so hard, and our boys and girls know what they did not have the equipment we do, then sometime it was impossible to get the plow into the ground and to keep it in the ground. Maybe there are people say that is now my picture, a picture of my heart. 9 commandments, and it seemed my heart was so hard that it did not even touch my heart, that I can continue to live. But then it is necessary that we continually come up to God's house and that we may ask the Lord for the precious work of the Spirit, that that heart may become soft, and that the plowshare of God's holy word that may turn the ground upside down, that we may be given to see not only what lives outside, but also inside, and then we shall experience those ridges of pride and self-righteousness that they need to be softened, that they need to be leveled, and then there shall be many a furrow that shall become desires for those refreshing showers, and that the seed may be sown, and that the seed, as we read in the parable of the sower, that with the blessing of the Lord, that it may germinate. We read in Mark 4, verse 28, first the blade, then the ear, then the full ear, and then the harvest. And now concerning those gentle rains, and concerning that dry earth, and concerning the crops, the plants, then what a beautiful instruction there is for the church of God. Ah, then many a times when they may drive through the country, when it may be given, then they can draw many lines. If we think, boys and girls, sometime you see it, maybe many times, if we have now a quarter that is irrigated, and it is dry, then we see in the corner, what do we see, boys and girls? We see that nothing germinates. It's happened the last weeks. Then the seed has lain dormant. It's also instruction. also for our children, at the end of another school year. Then you are called to examine your heart, how it has been, what the seed of God's word sown, has it touched your heart? Have you received a new heart? But then it can also happen that that seed shall lie dormant for a while. You have learned Bible texts, psalters, Bible histories, and that it pleases the Lord at a later time by the gentle showers of the Holy Spirit that that seed that has been sown many days, months, even years ago, that by the grace of God that it shall germinate. I have even read centuries ago of a Luke Short that he has heard a sermon from 1 Corinthians 16 verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. And then he immigrated to the States. And he became a farmer. The Lord has blessed this land with gentle showers. He has prospered. And then he was 100 years old when that seed of that sermon when he was 14 years old came back with power and used it for his conversion. Not to make the wrong application. Not to think, boys and girls, then I shall wait for it. No. We must pray earnestly for the Lord's work. But when we now consider a field that has been sown and where the Lord sends those gentle showers, then we may see it such a lushy growth. And is that not a beautiful type of the time of the first love? When the work, Lord works so lovingly, oh, that continually also when such a soul come up to the courts of the Lord, that they may be showered with those gentle showers, that it may be so lushy, that it may be so green. What a zeal, what a love, and what a courage there is in such a heart. Oh, then it can also be during the night watches that they may receive the dew of the Holy Spirit. And then such a soul, they hope it may continue so. And the Lord is free. But if now a plant always receives favorable conditions, what would then perhaps happen when a storm would come? Then the roots would not be so deep. And then perhaps they would blow over. So dependent upon the showers of the Holy Spirit, of course, if you would ask such a little plant concerning the precious things of the Lord, oh, then they would tell you this solemn, the first verses, that is the most important. Iniquities prevail against me. And if we would ask concerning that ear, then they would not have an answer. Maybe in this morning, many beautiful lessons. Also opportunity for fathers and mothers to speak to their children. Maybe in this morning, there is one that draws another example, they cannot deny, of those times when everything was so lushy and green, they hoped to go from strength to strength. But now maybe in this morning, they say, do you know who I represent? I represent a little plant at the corner of the field where the irrigation hardly comes. And then I'm given to look in the middle of the field where everything is taller. Do we not read of that blind man? that has seen men walking as trees and then those little plants. They need to beg. When the irrigation comes around, then they have to beg for a little wind that the Lord may blow that water, that they may receive a little moisture and be revived. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. It can also be in a time when there is not so much water that a plant does indeed grow, because the true work of the Lord, they are given to examine their plants oftentimes, that it is right that they are not a tear. Jesus not even given the example in Matthew 13 of a plant that seemed to be so lushy, grew so fast, speak of great things, but upon stony ground, and it soon withered away. There can even be plants that there comes an ear, but that ear is so light that when the farmer goes through the field to combine and he makes a few circles, and there is so little, and he takes a hand of that grain, that it is nearly weightless. Oh, what a lesson we can draw. We need an ear of work that puts weight in the balance of God's justice. Thus, as we read in Mark 4, verse 28, the blade, of course, the root, and the ear, and the full ear, that it may be harvested. Let us first sing. Psalter 169, 1, 2, and 3. Thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land. Thy streams exhaustless bless the field, preparing it the grain to yield, provided by thy hand, and what follows. 169, the three stanzas.
The watered earth as an emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. The need for this watering, the source of this watering, the manner of this watering, and now fourthly, the blessings upon this watering. When the Lord waters His church by the work of the Holy Spirit, a virtue, the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, because it is the room of the Spirit to make room in the heart of sinners for that precious name of Jesus. When the Lord sendeth those showers from above, then it cannot remain hidden, then it shall become evident. Think on the day of Pentecost, when the Lord has so richly poured out His Spirit, then it became evident in the life of the apostles and in the life of the 3,000 that were converted. And concerning those showers, oh, when it is dry, then even with the dew, what a quickening and what an encouragement that can grant to a child of God. We have the examples in the realm of nature. When we think of a stalk of corn, then the Lord has created it in a wonderful way. And in a warm climate where the nights cool down, perhaps more visible in the south, where the rows are planted further apart to give the corn room to breathe and to cool down. But then it can be boys and girls. If we would walk through such a cornfield early in the morning with the heavy dew and with all the leaves upward, then that dew goes toward the plant and it trickles down the stalk. And then you find a little circle by the roots, a little circle of water that may revive that plant, grant it strength to endure another day. To that end, we read concerning the drought in the reign of King Ahab that there would be no dew nor rain. And now in our text words, then the psalmist is given to speak of many precious things. Thou makest it soft with showers. Ah, that is the work of the Spirit, to make the heart soft, receptive for the precious things of the Lord by the first time and by renewal. And a people that has received a new heart, they have much to do with that heart. And they have much to complain concerning that heart. And then each time by renewal, they need to beg for those gentle showers that that heart may become soft even under providential blessings, even when the Lord granteth rain. To receive a low place with that vehement desire, because it says, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Then that seed may germinate, it shall germinate. And then there shall also be a springing upward with the desires and longings heavenward, to be filled with the things of the Lord and also to receive that full ear, to come to a full and saving knowledge of the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then further, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, the blessings from heaven. James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights,
with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of a turning. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. For a farmer, what is that, boys and girls? That is when in the fall or even in the summer, when a farmer may harvest what he has sown, and there may be a crop, there may be food for man and beast. What a beautiful time that is. Should also be a time of prayer that the Lord keeps from accidents, from harm and danger, but also a time of humility. What a privilege and what a blessing it is for a farmer when there are those times before he climbs his tractor or his combine that he is first given to bow his knees, and also times when he may look in his combine or whatever piece of machinery it may be, silage, you can multiply it out, and that he becomes small, and that he is given to see, it is thou. All comes from above. Thou visitest the earth and waters it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. And thy paths drop fatness. When we read of those paths, then we speak of the paths of providence. They can be so contrary and so difficult. Nevertheless, then we may say also in the midst of trials, Ezra 9 verse 13, that the Lord granteth not as our iniquities deserve, but even more so, thy paths drop fatness. Those are those paths of grace which the Spirit leads his people. He makes them thirsty. He makes them desirous as a thirsty land. Oh, he makes them, boys and girls, sometimes you see it when it is very dry. Then the ground even cracks open, crying for rain from above. That is not strange for the true child of God. Thy paths drop fatness. That word fatness in the Hebrew, that even has the meaning of burnt ashes. Oh, thy paths drop fatness. The revelation by the Spirit, the opening of God's word for that precious mediator. He has cried out on the cross. No showers, no moisture. He has cried out the fifth crossword, my thirst. And therefore the psalmist, when he may come to the tabernacle and given to behold everything in the tabernacle, the priest, the furniture, of course he needed an eye to see. When he was given to see the sacrifices burnt on the altar of burnt offering, thy paths drop fatness. And then we even read, because of that great blessing, that special blessing of the Lord, thy pastures are clothed with flocks. And you boys and girls, you can understand it. If you want to clothe the whole pasture to cover it, then we need a lot of sheep and a lot of lambs and much grass for the sheep and lambs. David was given to speak, undoubtedly, after a time of drought, of the wonderful works of the Lord, thou, nine times in our text, and then also an emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. Have there been prayers sent up the past week? Have there been souls? Ah, that is said, Lord. Thou hast been mindful of us, not went through with thy judgments. Thou hast not sent great storms or big hailstorms would demolish our houses, but thou hast sent showers upon the thirsty earth. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Not the worst times in the church when vows are made. Think of Jacob in Genesis 28, that night when he saw that ladder, angels descending and ascending, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has made a vow the Lord would remember him, that he would pay a tenth. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. But have there been also many prayers sent up, Lord? Thou hast now done it upon the dry earth, refreshed, gladdened the cattle, the dry pastures. How glad they must be when there's food for them and for the calves. The birds may sing, but how wilt thou do it in thy church? That would be more for thy honor and for thy glory. They shall shout for joy. They shall also sing. We read very solemn words in Zephaniah 3, verse 16, that the Lord, he will joy over his church was singing. We shall close with Psalm 68, verse 9. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard out of thy holy word that the psalmist was touched, that he was moved, that he was humbled, that he was given to praise thee and to acknowledge thee for thy wonderful works. Thou wast given many reasons to do the same in the realm of nature. And now, Lord, once more we humbly ask thee, wilt thou send those gentle showers in a richer measure upon us and our children, and that there may be much fruit, and also for those little plants be given to grow up, and for all of us. We read in the scripture of that full ear, and then the time shall come that the sickle shall be put in the harvest, and thy people shall be taken home, and for the unconverted it shall be so terrible, Lord. Wilt thou then work wonderfully? May the prayers be multiplied. Gladden us with thy deeds. Watch over us in this day. Return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 403, 404, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Ye creatures in the sea and creatures on the earth, your mighty Maker praise and tell us matchless worth and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. Miss Mertaintje, Lena the Young, has appeared before the consistory and requested to join her congregation from the RCNA of Monarch. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. This is the first announcement. The first wedding announcement of Avid van der Stroot and Mertaintje, Lena de Jong. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And the banner of truth is in the rocks in the foyer. Psalter 404, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5.
I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.